Thank you, our pastor, Brother Chad.
All right, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 6. We're going to continue our message of why Christians give up. Now, you say with a title like that, does it mean that I can give up if I want to? No, sirree. We're trying to help you not give up, amen? In the book of John, chapter 6. Now, this is Christ Jesus preaching. And what he's preaching the gospel that he's going to have to die, be buried, and raised again the third day. But he uses himself as an example that in him, you can obtain life. It's the bread. He is the bread of life. And his blood is the well which we receive Jesus Christ. And it springs up into an everlasting well. Amen? But with this message, the people wouldn't understand. Their hearts were hard. Their minds were closed. And they didn't understand. So in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 66. Now, if you look at that, you see 666. Now, when you hear 666, nothing good's going to come out of it. Amen? Nothing good. When I was in high school, we went over to Israel. And on top of one of those skyscrapers in New York City, down by Times Square, there was a big old skyscraper. And above that skyscraper were the number 666. And that was the major computer of the world that hooked up to the major computer in Belgium. And they advertised it. And so when we see John chapter 6, verse 66, we can understand that something's not going to be good here. And here's what the Bible said. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, that's bad. When we start walking with God, we don't go back. Amen? We continue to walk. Now, Lord, open our hearts and our ears and give us understanding. Help us to see the need of, Father, not laying down, sitting down, but to keep moving forward for you, knowing that the time is growing near when no man is able to work, that no one will be able to testify because of your return. Lord, help us be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you remember the last time we visited on this subject, we saw there becomes a deadly drift in many lives. I tell people, you know, it doesn't take any effort to drift down a river. I mean, you throw some trash in or whatever. If you just drift, you're going to end up where the other trash is. Amen? It's good to get up on top and to keep moving forward and to keep moving up. And in this, if you remember right, we talked about how we don't need to give up. But because of the days, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And we talked about how we always have to polish ourselves and work with ourselves to keep everything maintained so we can be used for the Lord. Most each and every one of us are blessed to own a lawnmower or borrow a lawnmower. And we have to keep those lawnmowers maintained and cleaned up. Or if you have a rototiller or a weed eater, you try to keep it clean and try to keep it ready to use so at any time you need it, you can go out there and one time pull and have it start. Have you ever had a lawnmower that you abused and didn't take care of and you go out there and it's like this? And I've seen people pick up lawnmowers and throw them. They're so mad. Well, it's not the lawnmower's fault, amen? It's the people that are working with it. Did you keep the oil changed? Did you keep the filter clean? Did you take out all that nasty stuff down there where the blade's at? I tell you, I've mowed with wet grass, and by the time you get done, you go up there with a putty knife, and I tell you what, you can feel a trash can full of that nasty stuff, amen? But that's what he's talking about. We need to look at ourselves and we need to keep ourselves maintained spiritually so we can continue to be a good worker for the Lord. You ever had a spade that you're going to dig with and you find out it's still got mud on it from the last time you used it? Or maybe you've used it and the spade's not sharp anymore and it's all been over. And you go to using it and you can't use it till you get the junk off of it and get that little roll off of it. It becomes sharp. Well, that's the way we need to be, folks. We need to be sharp for the Lord. We need to be ready to be able to be used at all times for the Lord. And so, we don't need to give up. We don't need to become drifters. We have a purpose and we have a love in our hearts and we got a destination and we need to keep moving for that. We know the quickest way for Christians to give up is to begin to doubt and not believe the truths of God's Word for our lives. You say, well, you know, I'm sort of in that category. I'm starting to doubt myself and I'm starting to doubt things. Is Christ ever going to return? And you know, and I'm having trouble believing it, and I want to believe, but I'm having trouble believing. Let me tell you the reason why you're having it, because you're not where you should be for the Lord. You're not close to Him. You don't have that communion you really need to be having. You say, well, I'm waiting on my wife or I'm waiting on my husband. I tell you what, we wait on nobody. We make sure that we're where we need to be. And then in love, we bring others with us. Amen? We bring others where we are. And so the Scripture tells us that we need to take the Word of God and its truths to heart. And we need to take it for granted that it is right and that it is righteous. And we don't need them to let the Word of God slip from our mind. Our service to Christ does matter. I know some people say, well, I've served God for so many years, it just doesn't seem like it matters anymore. Oh, that's the devil talking. Amen? It matters. It truly matters how we live for Jesus. You say, but it doesn't seem to matter. Oh, no. It might get that feeling that way sometimes, but it does matter because you're going to run into somebody that needs Jesus and they're going to listen to what you have to say through the Word of God and they will get saved and they will start serving God. And God might use them for a Sunday school teacher or a bus driver or a missionary or a pastor or whatever. It does matter. It does. Some of the greatest preachers have this testimony that they were the preachers they were because of a Sunday school teacher in third grade or maybe a Sunday school teacher in sixth grade or whatever the case may be. I think about me growing up. I had some great Sunday school teachers. I really did. I think about young in life that I had some good teachers and they were ladies and they were godly and they taught me. Well, my mom and dad taught me at home too, but I remember these ladies teaching me the Bible. And now I stand up here, and I'm not saying I'm a great preacher. I'm far from it. But I'm up here because of those ladies when I was young. They loved me and they shared God's Word with me. And I have part in this ministry. I think as I grew older, and I can think of the teachers I had in my life, and they were young back in those days, and now they're all old. And many of them are still here. Some of them have white hair. Some of them have no hair. It doesn't make any difference. They took me, and they didn't care I was the preacher's kid or anything. They opened up the Word of God, and they taught me, and I listened. I tried to listen, and I listened pretty good. But their life mattered to me. It put me where I am today because God was able to use them. It does matter. It does matter. But you know, the devil will try to get you to believe that things aren't like it is. And the devil tries to start doubt to slip in on you and into your lives. And they start to work on you. But I tell you what, folks, God is real. His work is real. The purpose that God set forth when He told His disciples to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things. Those things are still alive and real today. Those disciples didn't doubt. And we have all of history to show us that God is true and He's right. If this was mankind, it would have failed many years ago. But it's God that orchestrates this. It's God who empowers, and it's God who continues, and it's God's way. There should be no doubt in our lives. Don't allow it to happen. There should be no thoughts of unbelief, because God's word is true. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, would you join me? In the book of Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm just going to take a few moments in this book of Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to understand that all the devil has to do is create a doubt in your mind. And in your body. That God's word is not true. And then sin will take over your life and you will be miserable. You will try to find peace and you won't find it because you cannot live a life in doubt. You've got to believe it's real. The Bible tells us, and actually I want verse 12 and 4, but I've got to start in verse 1. Listen to this. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now when he talks about this holy brethren, he's talking to the men, the women, the boys, the girls, everybody. They're those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, now listen to me. He says, those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, those who've let Jesus come into their heart. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. You say, what apostle is he talking about? What high priest is he talking about? Well, at the end of the scripture, he tells us, Christ Jesus. Consider Christ. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians today? They forgot to consider Christ. He says, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. He says, consider Christ Jesus the creator of all things. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says he created all things. And by him all things were created. Those things in heaven and those things in the earth. Those things visible and those things invisible. God created them all. Jesus created. He said he is the head of the church. Now let me ask you something, my friend. Who is the head of this church? God is. That's right. Jesus is the head of this church. This is his church. And Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant. For a testimony of those things which to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. My brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who know Jesus as Savior, we are the building of his hands. Amen. We are, if you please, the Bible tells us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He says, now folks, as Christians, we don't want to be like the children in the day of provocation. We don't want to be like the children in the wilderness, those that God brought out of Egypt. And he marched them straight to the riverbank of Jordan. And he says, cross over, this is your land of rest. And they sent out spies. And the spies came back. 10 of them came back and said, oh, there's giants in that land. And there's great walled cities. And if we go in there, we're going to be like ants to them, and they're just going to stomp on us and kill us. But there was two that came and says, oh, that's true, but look at the grapes. The grape clusters were so great that they had to carry them on a pole in between their shoulders. Oh, it's a land of milk and honey. Yeah, there's giants in there, but don't you worry. God will take care of them. Amen? And he said the children rebelled, and oh, it angered God. It angered God. We as the children of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are moving out of the land of Egypt. Amen? And we're pressing towards that land of rest. But when we get close, we don't want to give up. Amen? God's got some great things for us to do this year. God's got some great things as individuals that we're going to be accomplishing. Miss Alice, God's got some great things for you this year. You're going to do great things in God. Because that's what God wants out of every one of our lives that are saved. He says, but don't act like the children of Israel and go stomping and dragging their feet. There are things that I had to do that I didn't want to do. And I tell you, there have been times I've been dragged into them. Amen. How many's ever been dragged into something you didn't want to do? And man, you go kicking and screaming. And finally you find out when you got there it wasn't half as bad as you thought and you enjoyed it. Amen? Amen? Okay. So I've never been there. Well, I'll drag you into something this year. I'll drag you all into something this year. And at the end of the year you're going to say, my, isn't that a blessing to serve God? Amen? Amen. And so he said, now don't act like them. He said, take heed in verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's what we're talking about. The devil tries to inch into your mind and tries to help you not believe in God and His ways and His truth. But you crowd the devil out and fill yourself up with the Lord. Amen. Believe in God. We used to sing a song around here. I believe, I believe, I believe, so why should I worry or fret? How many remember that song? Isn't that a good song? We in our lives need to have that atmosphere about us. I believe God. I really believe God. He says, but exhort one another daily. He's saying in this verse 13, help one another daily. Encourage one another daily. Exhort. God's real. His work is with purpose. His work is still good. God's still good. We exhort one another. How many's ever got down before? Discouraged? Come on now. How many's ever got discouraged in the Lord's work? Come on now. How many's ever worked for the Lord? Okay, now how many's ever been discouraged in the Lord? Yeah. And we get discouraged. I told you the story before, but I go out doing door-to-door and inviting people to come to church and stuff. I love talking to folks. Sometimes they don't like talking to me, but I love them anyway. And I went into this one area out there behind the old Atwoods. How many remember where the Atwoods used to be before it is now? It's on Van Buren, wasn't it? And I went out there in that little area, and I was going door to door, and I went door to door through that whole deal one day, morning and night. And I had some good visits, but I didn't get any promises. And I was coming down to my last three doors, and I was discouraged. I thought, man, what in the world? Doesn't anybody out here want Jesus, you know? And I went and knocked at this one door, and I was so discouraged. And presentation's everything. Okay, so presentation. I knocked at this one door, and the lady came to the door. I said, I suppose you don't want to come to church, do you? You said you didn't. I did. I was discouraged. No, I really don't. Okay, that's what I thought. Mike, that's wrong. I was young. I was discouraged easy. I got off there. I said, why did I say that? The devil made me do it. Amen. No, I did it because I didn't let the Lord encourage me. I got discouraged. I asked God to forgive me, and I got back on those last two doors, and I was encouraged and everything. You think, what's the use? Well, you know what? I was doing God's work. And I had to look back as I was planting the seed. Now, when you're going to grow something good, the seed goes into the ground. You have to wait a little bit, amen? Now, I've grown gardens, and oh, I can grow okra. Let me tell you, I can grow, and there's nothing better than fried okra. Woo, sell my clothes, Mama, I'm going to heaven food. But fried okra. But you know what? When I plant that seed, I don't start picking okra 5 minutes afterwards, do I? I plant that seed, and I water it, and I fertilize it. And I see it start to poke out of the ground, and I get excited about it. And I keep it worked, keep the dogs out of it, who wants to go digging around it, you know, and everything. And then by the next thing you know, okra's this tall, and okra's this long, amen? Folks, sometimes when we go out, we think that, wham, I'm planting the seed, now I'm going to harvest. Sometimes it takes some time. Don't doubt. Don't be faithless. Let God do His work, amen? There have been times I've gone out and I thought I was planting the seed, and I wasn't planting the seed. It had already been planted, Amber. You know what I was doing? I got to harvest. And what a blessing those days are. He said, don't be discouraged, but believe. Help one another to believe. Exhort one another daily. Daily call somebody. Say, I love you. Let's work for God together. He says, why is called day? Lest of any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. You know, sin likes to come in quickly. He likes to harden the heart. But you know, our God's a good God. And He'll take all our hard hearts and He can start working it and making it soft. How many's ever worked with that Play-Doh stuff? Huh? Have you ever worked with it? When you first get out of the can, isn't it soft? Oh, boy, it just, you can make animals with it and everything. You play with it for a little bit and put it back in the can. Next time you get it out, what happens? A little hard, isn't it? Do you just throw it away? No. You get it back out. What do you do with it? You start playing with it because it's called Play-Doh. You start playing with it, and you start working it, and it doesn't take very long till you take that thing that's starting to get hard, and it'll start having some elasticity to it, and you can start moving it again, you can start molding it and making it again. And when sin comes in our life, sometimes our heart gets a little bit hard, a little bit dry. But get back to God. He'll take old hearts in His hand, and He'll start working with it, amen? Start making it soft. Start making it where God can mold us and make us the way it pleases Him. You see, what a blessed thing. I'm almost finished. Stay with me now. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Remember when you let Jesus come into your heart? How confident you were in Christ. Man, you was like Superman. You was getting ready to take on the whole world. Amen? You was excited. You wanted to go home and tell Mom and Dad. You wanted to go home and tell your brothers and sisters. You had an old uncle that was just a mean old skunk. You said, I'm going to go win that mean old skunk to the Lord. Amen? You said, I know that God is with me, and I'm going to go share God's Word, and you're confident. He says, keep that same confidence you had when you first let Jesus come into your heart. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can do for yourself, the best thing you can do for your wife or your husband or your children, the best thing you can do in your life today is let Jesus come into your heart. He's worthy to be our Savior. You can believe in Him when He says, if you'll come unto me, I will not cast you out. If you come unto me, I'll wash your sins away. I will make your heart as clean and white. And He says, then I'll seal it and I'll protect it. He's worthy of our belief. we don't need to doubt our God. Here's what the Bible says. While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Don't harden your heart against God. No. Believe in Him. Run to Him. Follow Him. Be excited in the Lord's work. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. There are some that went against God, but not all of them did. But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware He that they should not enter into His rest? But to them that believest not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now you say, can Christians lose their salvation? Nope. My mom and dad had me. Now I'm not going to say they was happy about it, but they had me. Now I did things in my life that wasn't that angel that you think I am. Wasn't right, believe it or not, Mike. Okay. You know me because you were here. Yeah. And I know you. Yeah. But we won't get out. Done quit preaching and gone to meddling. Amen. But you know what? In those times that I was bad, I didn't cease being my parents' son. I was still their kid. I was disobedient, but I was still their kid. Now, they probably said, well, you're not my son anymore. You're so bad, we're not going to claim you no more. But you know what? I've still been their son. I could have rebelled to the point where I say, you're not my mom and dad anymore. I'd never do that. No, Lord forbid that I ever do that. The first commandment with the promise is honor your father and mother. It's a commandment with a promise that you live long. Amen. You know what? It wouldn't change the fact I was still their child. As Christians, yeah, you can walk away from God. Yeah, you can have your salvation kept. But I tell you what, we're disobedient children and we're not going to find rest in our hearts. We're not going to find rest in our life. Because you know where rest is at? It's in the bosom of our Savior. Underneath His wings. Having fellowship one with another. Talking to Him through our prayers and Him answering us through His blessed book. So, why do Christians stop serving Him? Sometimes because of their unbelief and their doubt. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't doubt. Only believe. Those of you here today that may be without Jesus, you say, how do I know it's real? Because God is real and His Word is real. Now, if this is something that we made up, it wouldn't last. But this is something that God commanded. If you will understand that you are a sinner and that you have need for a Savior, and if you're godly sorrowful for your sin, the Bible says you can come to Him, confess, and He'll save you. Well, what else do I have to do to get saved? That's it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you have your love for God and God's love for privilege of to others that they may know how they can obtain heaven. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, please.